The grace of the Lord be with you. Welcome to worship today. I know we're missing a few folks today, but I'm glad you braved the bad weather to get out and be with us today. So glad all of you are here. We invite you to sign the Friendship Register, the booklet you should find the inside aisle of your pew, and pass that down. Make sure everyone gets the chance to sign it. So glad to see you on this second Sunday of Advent as we continue to prepare for the celebration of Christmas. Invite you to take note of the announcements in your bulletin. Let me say first a big word of thanks to all of you who came this week and helped decorate the church inside and out. Thank you so much for your help. And then look inside your bulletin at all those who, the names of those who gave so that we would have our beautiful poinsettia tree and the poinsettias around the church. Thank you so much for your gifts, and we greatly appreciate those. And look at the other announcements in your bulletin. Notice that today is the last day for us to collect coats and toys for Piedmont Rescue Mission. There is a box in the narthex for those. So if you happen to forget today and want to bring them tomorrow by the church, that will be okay. But this will be the last Sunday for us to collect those. Notice on the back of your bulletin, the upcoming celebrations. Notice you will want to be here next Sunday. Our children will be doing their Christmas pageant, and our youth will be presenting a joysticks presentation, and there will be a youth band. And let me tell you, you have not heard them because they have not played before in worship, and they do a great job. You will definitely want to be here next Sunday to hear and see all of that. Then notice next Sunday evening at 7 o'clock, we'll gather at First Methodist in Graham for Festival of Carols, the combined choirs from our church and the First Baptist Church and First Methodist Churches. So make sure you put that on your calendar for next Sunday evening at 7. Notice that the next Sundays, December 24th and 31st, we will not have Sunday school, but we will have worship at 11 o'clock. And so you can see those dates and times and put them on your calendars. Look with me at our prayer concern list. Continue to pray for Gail and Larry Jordan. Gail is at home now, but continue to pray for her. Also let you know that Eleanor Cook is in the hospital. She's been in the hospital the past few days. She's doing better. They're trying to get her blood pressure regulated before they send her home, but continue to pray for Eleanor Cook. Also want to ask your prayers for Lacey O'Quinn. We remember that's Elizabeth Thomas's sister's granddaughter we've been praying for a good while. She was doing better, so we didn't have her on the prayer list. But Elizabeth just yesterday, she was taken to the hospital Friday with a high fever, and they're trying to figure out what to do for her. So be in prayer for Lacey and for that whole family. Are there any other prayer concerns that you want to mention today? Then let me tell you, share with you a big word of praise from Ann and Wayne Lucas. Ann had told me that Wayne was having some difficulties, and one doctor looked at him and thought it was suspicious, so they really thought that he had cancer. And so they did an MRI this week, and the praise is the MRI showed no sign of cancer at all. So we are just so thankful for Ann and Wayne both, and give praise to God. Look in your bulletin then at our order of worship, and we're going to begin with a wonderful song, O Come, Emmanuel, from our handbell choir. We're so thankful for them and for their beautiful music. So let's enjoy that and turn our hearts to the Lord.
Thank you.
Let me invite you now, as you're able, to stand together for the call to worship. You'll find the words in your bulletin. This is the good news about Jesus the Messiah. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Gabriel said to Mary, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." We are here today to worship the one who was promised to Mary, the one whose kingdom will never end. Let us pray. God, our Father, as Christmas time approaches, we have a lot to get ready. There are presents to be bought and wrapped, greetings to be sent. But Lord, never let us forget to prepare our own hearts for the time of your coming. What good will all our activity be if it only crowds you out and keeps us from remembering you? So, Father, teach us now as we worship you how we need to be prepared for your coming. As we seek to praise you, give us the energy to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Advent is a time for repentance. Remember last week we talked about John the Baptizer. He came preaching. His first sermon was about repentance. When Jesus started preaching years later, his first sermon was about repentance. We need to change our ways. We need to turn away from our sin and toward God. Let us be mindful of that as we confess our sin using the prayer of confession you'll find in your bulletin. Let us pray. God of all peace, there is so much trouble and violence in our world, so many things that destroy peace and make for war. We admit that we contribute to that when we do things that shatter our relationships with others and do not make for peace with our neighbors. Forgive us by your grace and cleanse us by your mercy. We pray in the name of the one we call the Prince of Peace, Jesus our Savior. Amen. Scripture tells us that without Jesus Christ, indeed, we have no hope in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. Christian friends, Jesus Christ is our peace, and we can be thankful today that in him we are forgiven. Amen. Going to invite the children's choir to start making their way to the front. As they're doing that, you can greet someone. And I want to say a word of thanks, special thanks today to TC and Wanda and Betsy for the great work that they have done with the children's choir. other children that want to come forward and join us for the lighting of the Advent? All right. Last Sunday, remember this wreath right here? It's a circle. It's kind of a way we tell time as we count down the Sundays until the celebration of Christmas. So last Sunday, we lit this first one. This one's called the Prophet's Candle of Hope. We remember the people who, before Jesus ever came, told us that he was coming. And that's not going to work. Boys, why don't you come forward? We don't have enough. We can't all do it today. So, girls, I'll get you next Sunday. Boys, you come forward. Today, we're going to light a candle that reminds us of where Jesus was born. Where was Jesus born? What town was he born? Bethlehem. This is called the Bethlehem Candle of Peace. We're talking about peace. Okay. So, some of you are worried about us playing with fire up here. All right. Everybody put one finger on the candle. Yeah, because I don't have room for your whole candle. Is everybody touching the candle? Yeah. Just touch it. Everybody? Okay. All right. You ready? All right. There you go. I knew it would work. Okay. We're not going to blow this one out. All right. So this is the candle where Jesus was born. What's it called? The Bethlehem Candle of Peace. All right. Y'all did a great job. Let's have a prayer. You just listen as I pray, okay? Lord Jesus, thank you for this special time of year as we prepare to celebrate your birth. Lord, I thank you for every one of these children. I pray your special blessings on them as they prepare to celebrate your birth. Thank you so much for their willingness to share their talents with us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, y'all did a great job. Now, all right, do what Miss Julie says. There you go. Let me invite you now to look with us together at our scripture lesson today, found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Those of you visiting with us during Advent, we're looking at a cast of Advent characters. Last week, the character we looked at was John, the baptizer, and today we come to Gabriel. So look with me at Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26, and listen carefully, for this is God's word to us. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called a son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me according to your word." Then the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord. thanks be to God. Amen. Do you like surprises, like especially at this time of year? Well, at my house, there aren't very many surprises anymore, certainly not for the parents, except for when we get the credit card bill, I guess. But we still like to try to think of surprises for children. Well, do you remember being surprised at Christmas, maybe a very special gift that you got? As I thought about that, for some reason, my mind went to, there was one Christmas, I think it was the first Christmas I ever got a bicycle. And I remember it being probably, it felt like it was in the 20s that day, very cold day, but that didn't stop me. I remember going outside and riding, and in our backyard there was just a tiny area of cement, but I just rode round and round and round that area because I just enjoyed that bicycle so much. Well, maybe you have some fond memories of surprises that you got. Well, our text today begins with the story of the angel Gabriel, which if you read the entire Gospel of Luke, he's previously appeared in Luke chapter 1. He appeared to Zechariah the priest to announce that Elizabeth, his wife, who, in his own words, was getting on in years, was going to have a baby. Now, this story continues to offer us surprise after surprise after surprise. But let me tell you that when we hear this story many times now, we are not surprised because we are so complacent. We've heard this story so many, oh, yeah, okay, angel, yeah, I know what's going to happen. But I want you to listen to this story one more time this morning, and I want you to be surprised. Think about it as if you were hearing it for the very first time, and there are so many surprises in this story. In fact, I counted 7. You might count a different way and find more, but I counted 7 big surprises in this story. So listen to them. First, a surprise, God sends an angel to earth on a mission. That's a surprise. I mean, have you ever seen an angel? Maybe you have or think you have. I don't know that I have. Angels are messengers. They're spirit beings. Some of them serve and worship God, and some don't. I believe that angels are real. In the scriptures, actually, there are 2 angels that are named, and they both appear in the Old and New Testaments. Gabriel interpreted visions for Daniel in the book of Daniel, and then in Luke brings messages to Zechariah and to Mary. Michael appears in the book of Daniel also, and is called the archangel in the book of Jude. So these are, you know, real beings that are talked about in Scripture. It's interesting, I don't know that I've seen an angel, but in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 13, we read, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without even knowing it." Kind of a interesting comment there that we need to be show hospitality to strangers because maybe it's an angel who's come from God. So that's a surprise that God sends an angel to earth on a mission. Second surprise, God sends Gabriel to Nazareth. Now God is going to send an angel on a special mission with a special announcement about a special birth. To where should that angel go? What about Rome? Rome would be the capital of the world's greatest power of the day. Or what about Jerusalem, where the temple was for the Jews, the symbol of God's presence for God's people for a number of years? No, God surprisingly sends that angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee called Nazareth. Be hard to even find on the map in that day. It was just a little town, not very significant. In fact, in John's gospel, when Nathanael hears that Jesus is from Nazareth, remember what he said? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nazareth was not a well-known town and not known for good things in that day. But God sends Gabriel to Nazareth. You see, God's ways are not our ways. In case you haven't figured it out yet, God doesn't always act as we expect God to act. Had I written this story, I would have had the announcement of the coming of the Messiah done with great pomp and circumstance. I don't know, trumpets and wonderful displays and all. But God didn't do it. He sent it privately, sent Gabriel privately to Nazareth. Third surprise, God sends Gabriel not only to Nazareth, but to a virgin. God has a great announcement to make. Surely it will be to a great king or emperor or high priest or government official. No, it will be to a young woman engaged to be married. Now, at this point, you need to know a little something about the culture of that day, how marriage worked in the ancient world. In the ancient world, it was a two-stage process. The first stage was betrothal, or we might call engagement. Now, that was different from our day because it was a formal witnessed agreement to marry. So you could not break it without a divorce. It wasn't the actual marriage yet, but it was a binding agreement. And usually it involved a woman who was around 12 or 13 years old. You think, well, that's mighty young. Well, if you think about the life expectancy of the day and all of that, you know, they kind of had to get started early. So usually when the young woman got engaged, so probably Mary was somewhere around 13 years old. And then it was followed 1 year later by the second stage, which was the actual marriage. Now, if you'll look at the pictures in your bulletin, you'll see, as I reflect on these stories now, having just been there this year, I reflect on my memories of being there in Nazareth. There in Nazareth today, there is a Church of the Annunciation, marking the traditional spot where Gabriel came to the Virgin Mary, and there's a church built there. And then inside that church, down below, there's the Grotto of the Annunciation. There are the words there that here the Word became flesh, which is an interesting thought from John's Gospel. So when we visited there, we were told that Mary was there in the house. Of course, it didn't look like this in that day, but she was there in the house, and she was in a special part of the house where men didn't come. She was expecting to be alone, and yet here this angel appears to her and surprises her. Now, let me pause just a moment talking about Mary's age, being around 13, and say to any young people that are with us, God can use you for special things. Now, I'm not saying that God's going to repeat this miracle again, but don't think, oh, because I'm young, I'm not important. I'm not important in the church. I'm not important to God. No, God can use you to do very special things. God has plans for you, and not just for the distant future. Maybe God has something special planned for you even this Christmas. Fourth surprise. This virgin will have a child. Now, come on now. You're surprised at that, right? That a virgin is going to have a child? It just doesn't happen. It's not possible. It's inconceivable. Ha ha, that was a pun. Mary shows her surprise about this. What does she say? Well, how can this be since I am a virgin? And why Mary? Did God look at all the young women in Israel or even in Galilee and think, okay, I want to choose the very best one? Not necessarily so, but God chose Mary. She was highly favored by God, not necessarily because she was the best, but because she was the one God chose. Someone said at one point, she was a nobody in a nothing town in the middle of nowhere. You ever feel that way? Ever feel like you're just not significant, not important, that you're a nobody? Well, you're not to God. When I was writing this sermon, even, there were several women who rang the doorbell, knocked on the door out here, and I went to the door, and they were women who were poor and looking for some help. Said, you know, can you help me? We're hungry. They were poor. They were needy. They were unimportant. Not much different from Mary. And yet they are important to God. Next surprise, number five, this child will have a special, unique child. Notice the ways in which Gabriel describes the child that Mary's going to have. Name him Jesus. That's a name that means Savior or God saves. He will be great. That is in contrast to humanity. He will be called the Son of the Most High, another way of saying Son of God. You know, in that day, the Roman emperor called himself by that title, Son of God. And Gabriel says, no, this is the real Son of God. Then he says the Lord God is going to give him the throne of his ancestor David, meaning he's going to be the promised Messiah. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Did the Jews have a king at this time? No. They were underneath the power of the Roman emperor, and so they were not an independent state with their own king. They had a history of having kings in the past, but no king at this time. And yet he says, this one is going to be the king. He'll reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Those kings that you had in the past, you wanted to have a kingly line that would continue forever, but it came to an end. But with this king is going to be different from all those kings who came before. He will rule forever. This is a unique child, no one else like this child. That's how special this child will be. Sixth surprise, this child will be conceived as an act of the Holy Spirit. This is unlike any other birth in human history. How did it happen? We don't really know for sure. We can't really explain all of that. We just know that he said the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Now, that word translated overshadow is the same word Luke uses later when he talks about a cloud overshadowing the Mount of Transfiguration, where Peter, James, and John were when Jesus was transfigured. So it refers to God's glorious presence with his people. God will be gloriously present with you, Mary, and this child will be conceived as an act of the Holy Spirit. That's a surprise. And then the seventh surprise. I don't know. This might, as I thought about these seven surprises, all the others are big surprises too, but this was a big surprise to me. Mary's response. I mean, you think about it. Mary is told this by the angel Gabriel. She's not expecting this at all. It takes a while for her to even process the angel's words. But then her response is, here I am, let it be. Let it be to me according to your word. But notice, what is that going to mean for Mary? She's going to eventually be showing as pregnant. And Joseph, the man she's pledged to, is going to assume that she's been unfaithful to him. He is going to want to divorce her. He is going to want to shame her publicly. The people of Nazareth are going to ridicule her. In fact, even some 30 years later, read in the Gospels when Jesus has started his public ministry, people in the area are still calling him illegitimate because they know some of the whispers about his birth story. Will she even survive this pregnancy? A lot of women in that day did not. And if she does and Joseph divorces her, she's going to be a single mom. Now, I know today, you know, we don't think as much about that. But certainly in that day, no help, no protection. She's going to be by herself. Is she going to be able to handle all this? I don't know how much of that she thought about, but her response, faithful to God that she was, her response was, let it be to me according to your word. The angel says, no word from God will ever fail, or nothing is impossible with God. God's promises to you can be trusted. So think about it. This story is a story full of surprises. God is still a God of surprises. God surprises us by his grace. The things that we do not deserve, but God freely gives us in Jesus Christ. There's so many ways that God is still surprising his people. If we'll just be open to see those surprises. You know what we do most of the time? We close our eyes. We don't think about what God is doing in our lives. We don't even stop to give God thanks for the things that God has done in our lives. But remember, God is still a God of surprises. And so God long ago brings this message to this young woman named Mary, and it's a message of peace. The message of peace is the same message God brings to you today in Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, that indeed you can have peace in your life. What that means, peace, that Hebrew word shalom, it's not just that we don't fight. Some people think, well, that's all peace is, that we're not fighting. No, it means total peace. Full well-being and health and blessing, all of that wrapped up in one in our Savior Jesus Christ. And that is what he offers you today. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, we thank you that indeed we serve the Prince of Peace and that this message of peace was brought to Mary long ago. Lord, this story truly is filled with your surprises because your people did not deserve that. The people of Israel did not deserve that. They had turned away from you so many times. You had sought after them and sent prophets to them. But we're the same way, Lord. You seek after us. You give us your blessings. You show us your love. And we turn away from you. We go our own way. We fail to thank you. We fail to praise you. We fail to give you all glory. So, Lord, remind us that indeed this story of Christmas, even though we love the celebration and we love the memories, maybe some of us from past Christmases, but it is still a surprise. It's a surprise that you would love this world enough to send your only Son for us. Lord, help us never to fail to be surprised at your love. Lord, we thank you for the other ways that you surprise us, even the blessings in our lives. We give you praise, Lord, for the word that we heard from Wayne Lucas this morning. We thank you and continue to pray for him. And Lord, for others that are struggling right now, sometimes when they have sickness in their lives at this time of year, it almost makes it worse because everybody else seems to be celebrating and yet they're struggling. So Lord, we pray especially this morning for Eleanor Cook as she's in the hospital and pray for healing for her so that she'll be able to come home soon. Continued healing for those who've recently had surgeries, for Jim Melvin and Gail Jordan, for Lou Stanko as she is continuing rehab at Peak Resources. And then, Lord, too, as we've just heard this morning, for Lacey O'Quinn, a 7-year-old girl who has struggled so much and now back in the hospital, and we pray that you would be especially near to her and provide the healing that she needs. Lord, surprise us every day by your grace. We thank you for that, even as we pray together the prayer that long ago Jesus taught his followers to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. That song itself has a kind of peaceful feel to it. And think about the Bethlehem candle of peace, thinking about Bethlehem today. Bethlehem today is not a place of peace. It's a place of great strife between Israelis and Palestinians. But Jesus came to bring that peace to our hearts, and we can be thankful for that. Let us continue to think about that as we hear the Hambo Choir play the song, O Little Town of Bethlehem, and as we give our gifts in praise to God. Oh, Lord, we call upon all people and all creation to join in the praise that you deserve. Lord, you surprise us by your grace and love in ways that we know we don't deserve. And so we want to give these gifts back to you because you deserve our gifts, our sacrifice, our praise, and even more. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Into your life during this Advent season and surprise you so that you see and feel and experience that God loves you in a way that maybe